Welcome to Art of Advisory. Today's guest is Laura Redman. Laura works, basically runs three businesses. She does QuickBooks Online training for other accounting professionals and writes QuickBooks-related topics for Intuit. She also runs her accounting firm, Redman Accounting, which is based out of Northern California. And she developed, or she's part of a business that developed a workflow software. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Laura, it's Kirk Bowman from Art of Value. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, hey, we're going to jump right in. I'm curious, what is the best business advice you've ever received?
I would say that the most important business advice I received was to delegate. I remember 2 or 3 years into running my accounting firm, having a real crisis and a really in-depth discussion with a friend of mine who was pushing me to delegate. Just, we were at a point where we had to grow or fail. And for us, that meant delegate. And I had this recurring sensation of wanting to clone myself because I didn't know how to stop being a bottleneck and get across the instruction and assignment of work to staff who were eager, who were fully competent, just passing along that expectation of the work that you had promised the client to the client. And so for us, delegating the work was a very important piece of advice, and it was something that is now a huge part of our success, I would say, building great teams and organizing them in a way to provide that exceptional customer service to your clients.
And can you tell us a little bit about the challenges of how you went about delegating it and growing up the courage to doing so? The journey of how you started, because I'm sure that, you know, the software, whatever you had when you started, wasn't the same thing of what you have now. So can you take us through
right.
that journey?
No, it's not. Does not. I wish I had what I had now, and I'm sure it'll keep getting better. So for me, I don't even know where to start. I had a history. I've been a financial controller and IT manager through the 90s. And so when I was growing the business, I was several years in. I think we were at 3 staff at that point, and I was trying, and they were like assisting me, but I was doing the bulk of the work, and I just kept being a bottleneck. If I tried to delegate it, I was in the way. So we started with a spreadsheet. We're bean counters. We started with a spreadsheet. So we had a big, you know, well, it got bigger. The spreadsheet started to assign exactly what work to do at what frequency and really try to detail the work, but and then it grew and grew and grew from there. And so I think 2010, I learned about an app called Method. It's just the tool I used, which allows you to take, build your own screen. So basically you can just create a database. So, I mean, if anyone knows a spreadsheet, you know, you can't really assign action buttons to it as well. So I use this tool called Method that let me have this database like a spreadsheet, but also start to assign some actions to it. So I built it in Method first, and then a couple of years later or so, we built it on its own platform. In between there, I teamed up with several partners who are leaders in our industry that were both also experts top level on Method on the platform that I was using, but also run their own accounting practices, QuickBooks, Advanced Certified QuickBooks Pro Advisors. So we all spoke the same language, knew the same pain points, and were just so passionate about continuing to develop this solution for, really it's to delegate. It's workflow management specifically for accounting firms like us that are providing client accounting services, not even tax. Although we'll work for that. So was that too much information?
No, that was great. That was great. Laura, and let me ask you kind of a follow-up question to that. So delegating, which was that number one piece of advice that you mentioned and a pain point that you had to go through, and you ended up doing it, or you're still doing it, and developed a software around tracking it. What has that done for you now? So now that you are, let's call it a master delegator, mm-hmm. a person that's not afraid to delegate, what has that What has it done to you as a professional? How has that helped you?
I can't believe how good I am at delegating now. I went from, you know, first solo entrepreneur to firm owner with staff assisting to fully delegated. And now I'm on the road teaching QuickBooks Online certification and staff are running everything because they're great staff. They're expert at what they do and they have great instruction. And so you start to find out that, let me start to say, to answer your question, that allows us to grow the firm, right? And so we can be more profitable. But the delegation piece was not that I was so great and everything needed my touch on it. It was more that you could take a pain point, something that a customer needs, and find a solution and give them an expectation and deliver the expectation. So to delegate that is really, I think, a key piece of the ability to run the business.
Go ahead, Kirk. Okay.
So as I was listening to you, one couple of things occurred to me. It sounds like, number one, just the ability to delegate is the answer to removing the bottleneck of the owner or, you know, the person who's in charge of the division or department or whatever it is, right? But the quality of that comes through the systems. Obviously, and we're going to assume you've got really good people, okay? Nobody go, you know, it's kind of like, you know, nobody wants to find an accountant who's dishonest, right? Or commits fraud, right? Nobody wants to hire people that aren't quality. So we're going to assume that. But really, systems provide quality that otherwise you won't get. Just so delegating is not enough. You have to delegate into a system.
Yes, I would say. That's been my experience. Correct.
And if you don't mind, can you talk about your system itself? I mean, give us a Reader's Digest version of what the system is that you use. We know it's software, and you know you developed it internally, but can you explain that real quick?
Yeah. So the name of it is Arrow Workflow. It's a cloud-based app, and each of your staff log in the morning, and they get their list of assignment. And that is all of the work that they're scheduled to do for the day. Now, that doesn't just appear the moment you buy the software as a firm. I don't mean buy the software, by the way. Subscribe to the software. It is cloud software, so it's a monthly fee. So what you do when you start is you as a firm need to be really proactive about the fact that you're in business to do some certain things and that you want to be profitable about it. And we can't shy away from the word profit. That is not a bad word. We are all in business to make a profit. And that profit I really protect because it allows me to deliver the customer service. It does not at all mean that customer service is not important to me. That the more I can pay my staff, they're going to be around to do the work that we promised to do, and they're going to do a great job, and they're happy about it. So with that all in mind, you define what your services are going to be. Pretty black and white. I mean, what kind of services do you do? Do you do tax? Do you not do tax? Do you do sales tax or not? Do you just pay bills? Do you keep the general ledger, reconcile, you know, define what things you're going to do. Do you walk dogs? No, that's not what we do. So define what you do, and then you have to spell it out. This is, and I preach on this all the time, this is your knowledge capital. This is what you're charging the customer for. This is everything that you and members of your team know how to do. You've learned it from experience. This is not exactly the certification that you learned all the expertise on one of the apps or all of the apps together. It's more than that. It's how you use them to provide the service that you do for your clients. So you really have to spell that out. And these are your procedures. I'm talking about documenting procedures here, and I know that's tedious, but that is what you are selling to your clients, and that allows you to then manage it in such a way that you deliver that to your clients in an excellent way. So once you've defined your services and your knowledge capital, then you can delegate it in a system. So Arrow allows you to take the procedures that you've set out, and then you actually make these shorter checklists and you assign them to your staff, to clients, go through each of your client engagements and for everything you promise to do, you need to have a checklist of how it's going to be done and what order. Assign a teacher, your staff, set the recurrence on it. And that is what is powering when your staff comes in for the day, what they see on their checklist, and they can get it done. And your staff, again, are experts at this work. It's not that you're baby talking to them. They are, I find, more satisfied when they can work autonomously and they have a really good idea of what you expect from them. So here's the work, which either you spelled out, or actually even better is if your team spelled out how you're going to do things here. So I like to say that I get really bossy writing these procedures, and you just define as a firm, all of you together can say, this is how we're going to do things here. And so when your staff come in for the day, they're working on this work that they know this is how the firm provides the service, and they can get that work done in a way that they feel really solid about. It's different for staff if they come in and someone else knew the client, sold something, and then they've got to deliver, and it's just kind of not defined well, and they're sort of nervous and kind of aiming and trying to make someone happy, and it's very difficult to do successfully.
So let me try to see if I understood you correctly, if you don't mind, and kind of unpack what this would look like. So let's say, for example, we're working with a system. It could be your system, some other system, whatever it is. And before we take any clients in, we do an exercise where we'll bring in every stakeholder in the company, a team member, owners, whatever. And you have this exercise, this conversation about what does our typical service look like? Like, how do we get the documents from the client? What do we do with those documents? Do we scan them? Do we store them in the cloud? Do we mark them with a paper? You know, do we put them in a yellow folder? What software do we open next? We actually write down what the whole experience looks like. And most team members know this by heart, and most business owners of an accounting firm know this by heart, but they don't document it. So, and you're shaking your head because you're
thinking. They think they do, and they're correct. Not always on the same page. And this is where, you know what happened. I mean, when you have expectations and then kind of go at it blindly, this is where you can get into a lot of situations where people are not satisfied. And I don't mean just clients, but your staff also, and the business owner.
So what you're saying is that most accounting firms, and not to generalize, but a whole bunch of accounting firms and their team have this implied set of procedures that they know and understand. But once you sit down to try to document them and standardize them, you discover a whole bunch of holes there. And what you want to do is you want to like kind of get those all those things out in the open, write them down, and then when you intake the client, you take that set of procedures and you put it into a schedule, let's call it that. And yep. Then you basically schedule out all this work, that way you have a structured way of working with each client.
That's right. So we will set up a standard deployment of how we're going to pay bills. For example, we use QuickBooks Online for all of our clients. And when we pay bills, we use bill.com. And when we go to pay bills, it sounds like, how can there be a checklist for that? You just log in and hit the pay bills button. But we actually have like 10 steps behind it. There are lots of things you have to do to get to that point. And you don't notice it until you go to do the steps. And especially when you watch someone new try to do it, that's when you realize that you're saying, oh, sorry, I just assumed that you knew this part, right? So on paying the bills, we're like checking if there were any notes from the approver that said, oh, send this overnight, this payment needs to go fast, or inviting them to pay electronically. We've got a bunch of steps in there. And all that comes out when you try to build your services as a team before you deploy to your clients. So I highly suggest it. And I want to say that this is not a requirement of our Aero workflow software or any other software, so much as I think that it is the responsibility of the firm. Think of a restaurant. I mean, do you just sit back there behind the counter and wait for people to order whatever and then run to the grocery store and buy the ingredients and make up the recipe or grab it off of Google? I mean, you could, but that's going to be less profitable than if you have set out exactly what ingredients you need and which recipe. You don't have to tell the recipe. That's the chef's secret, I know. But, you know, this is your secret sauce you're building in some cases. So there are unique ways that firms provide their services. So we spell that out in a standard way. We'll use a template for it. So when we sell, let's say we're going to sell a service to a certain company and we're going to pay their bills, we take our standard template for that, our checklist, and then we can customize it. We've got a client that wanted things done just a little bit differently than we normally do. They would pay for the difference, the effort it was going to take that was different from how we normally do things. And so we customized our standard procedure into a more of a white glove service for them. And that was easy to do because we all know how to use the services and we normally do things one way, but we've got the special checklist. Whenever you log in and you're doing work on that client, your checklist is slightly different. So you don't forget how that client's needs are a bit unique. And you really find that as a firm when you start working with clients that every business really has some unique parts to it.
And one thing that you said that I thought was really brilliant, when you said you really notice it when you watch somebody new do it. And I was thinking, most accounting professionals, colleagues of ours, when we talk about the concept of hiring someone or even delegating, the number one pushback you get, look, half the times it's faster for me to just do it than have to explain someone how to do it. And then verify that they did it correct. I would say, wouldn't you say that's like the number one pushback that people have? Yeah. And even with our clients, I mean, Laura, I know you do a lot of consultancy work with your clients, with your accounting clients. And isn't that what consulting looks like sometimes? Like convincing someone to just delegate or trust someone else to do it?
Mm-hmm. That's where I used to say, if I could just clone myself, then I could make this work. And so that's where a workflow system will really come in handy.
So you could be the supervisor on a new staff member without physically being there by having that list of procedures already spelled out. So although
we've got checklists for when new staff start. It's so much easier when new staff start now because we have checklists where they log in each day and it takes them through their list of different apps to get certified on the first few weeks that they're working with us. Hold on a second, their airplane just went by. I just want to restart that. That's a loud airplane. So when we have new staff start for us, we have checklists of training, whether it's getting certified on things or when they start shadowing, doing the client work with one of our other staff, that really helps them through. And we've had staff now, not only do we love it, but the staff really appreciate this. When a new staff person starts, usually you're hiring them because you've got a heavy workload that you and the rest of your team are unable to complete. And I'm being gentle here, but usually all of you are really swamped. And when a new person comes on, that's like another thing. And this person is on the clock sometimes, or, you know, on salary, whatever the case may be, but they're showing up for work and it can be weeks of training them. And when you have a checklist that helps them be sort of in charge of that, and they don't use all of your day anymore sitting with them, it's very helpful.
And we're talking mostly about the procedural work. We're talking about the tedious, you know, clock in here, download this, enter this. We're talking about that, not like the consulting work or the knowledge work, right? We're talking about the core of the accounting firm's work, which is just pushing data through, correct?
Well, what I'm referring to is the first weeks, couple of weeks where they're getting QuickBooks Online. Well, no, they're QuickBooks Online certified when they come to us, but Bill.com certified, Expensify certified, and they're going through that training. And then they're sitting with and shadowing and starting to do some of the client work. These are processes that we have spelled out and they can see that. when you've been working here for several years, these checklists you almost have memorized. I still depend on them heavily because as I'm doing each task, I'm checking things off as I go. But when you're brand new, you're living and breathing by that checklist. It's very helpful for them to start exercising. They've got the knowledge already, but how to deploy it.
And you guys did something really innovative, which was having the capacity for this checklist to be shareable to the public. And most people don't want to give away the secret sauce. They don't want to give away the recipe, the secret formula. But it's amazing the amount of accounting professionals that will love to share, you know, one or two of their processes and in exchange to see other people's processes. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. So I'll when I first found a connection to the rest of our industry. For me, it was in 2010 when I went to a conference that Woodard Events puts on called Scaling New Heights, which is in June each year, this year coming up in Atlanta. When I found that in 2010, I was so blown away by all of the information that I started connecting to, but most importantly, all the information that people, and by people, I mean our colleagues and peers, were sharing with me. And they were so eager to sit around and discuss, you know, what solutions you can use and how to price things and all that sort of thing. So that started for me a really, open method of running the business. I just felt, and everyone I meet in our industry acts this way, or works this way. They do it like open source. You know what I'm saying? All of us are on Facebook groups, any kind of way that we can find to communicate with each other. We're constantly giving out, this is how we do things. Am I wrong? Someone check me here. You know, how would you do it? Sharing so much. So that kind of spun me off on my journey to writing. I was on the first team that wrote the QuickBooks Online certification. So I've been on that team ever since that first started in 2012. And that's just trying to share this knowledge. It moves all of us forward. And so the same thing applies as we started to figure out how to work with these apps that integrated with QuickBooks Online. And sharing that with each other made all of us stronger when we're talking about the cloud accounting as a solution. And so what you're talking about, what you're mentioning is, so I have Redmond Accounting, that firm, and then I spend a lot of time on teaching QuickBooks Online. But the third thing is Arrow Workflow. So Arrow Workflow, that app has what's called the Arrow Library. And Arrow Library is for firms who start using Arrow and they have to write up all of their procedures for how they do things here at their firm. But some of them, you know, it takes time to write that. And some of them would love to instead just use a checklist of processes that other people in the industry use. So we created Arrow Library after a year or so, and we have authors in the Arrow Library who contribute those checklists. And these are standard ways to enter bills on bill.com, process company credit cards using Expensify, use Intuit Online Payroll, how to reconcile a bank account, how to troubleshoot a bank reconciliation in QuickBooks Online when the beginning balance is wrong. You know, very detailed, like some of them are consulting, some of them are accounting service, client accounting services type of work. And so that's just creating that knowledge base there right within Arrow. So if you don't have a checklist for it, here's the other thing. Not only are we sharing it with it, but for firms who don't even think of themselves as selling that service yet, these are even new service lines. I mean, if you didn't handle company credit cards because you didn't know how to use Expensify yet, and you're an Arrow user, just grab the template and now you've got another service you can offer.
That's awesome. Kirk, and I know you have some questions for Laura as well.
So Laura, I mentioned this during our show prep, but I want to come back to it because I think there's more that we can glean from this discussion. So at QB Connect, which is coming up shortly, you're teaching on workflow. And so just to bring the audience into the conversation, I'd ask you, okay, so how do you teach workflow? And your short answer was from experience. Well, let's go deeper. First of all, I think you've demonstrated why we teach workflow, but how do you approach it? How do you take something that is perceived as abstract and make it concrete?
I talk about a lot of what we're just discussing here today. My experience in running a firm and starting as just myself and then needing to delegate to staff, because that is where I had to define what my workflow was. It used to just all be in my head, and that pain of having that thought of I want to clone myself, or I don't know how to delegate, I want it to be done right, or I'm feeling like a bottleneck. I have staff now, you know, the first two staff on board were assisting and they wanted to do more, but they kept feeling like they just couldn't get it out of my head, what I had promised the client or the solution that I saw in mind. So I walk through that. It's a common pain point. So many of us have had this same experience. And I walk through the steps of how to define it and organize it. And so on the workflow side, that's the system side, that's the organization of it. We're getting into databases now. How many fields do you need to organize it, and how many fields of data do you want to gather and analyze later? So those are fields like, what's the name of the task? What are the steps you're going to do in the task? Who is it delegating to? What frequency? What's the client on it? What hat are you wearing when you do that role? All sorts of things there.
So it's interesting that you mentioned databases, because I've had 20 years of developing custom systems for customers. I am interested in an accountant who helps do that for your customers. Now, I also noticed in your bio that you have an IT background, but for an accountant or bookkeeper who may be listening and going, you know what, I have customers who need this, I'd like to offer this to them, what kind of insight would you offer? Because while on the surface, it may be very aligned with what accountants can offer, there's still a tech side. So talk about your experience, and I perceive it's not the same as maybe your typical accountant. So give them some guidance there.
Some of them, a lot of the heavier audience will recognize this part. I'm a financial controller. So in the 90s, for controllers, that meant that we created websites, because there were no IT staff when this first all started, this whole internet thing came out. So we didn't know what we were doing, we were making it up. And I was crawling around the floor trying to hook up peer-to-peer networks, and you just kind of figure it out. And if you have a systems type brain, which many of the controllers, you know, that are listening are going to understand, you like to build systems. I was crimping Cat 5 cable, things like that. So database, and now that's kind of the hardware side of things, or network side of things, but databases I was very interested in. And a lot of your audience are going to understand that, because they love Excel, and they're, you know, is a very simple database. Not even simple. Lots of these Excel spreadsheets are very complex.
I often call Excel the most abused database in the world.
Yes.
I've seen some of these spreadsheets you're talking about where people have actually tried to really build an application. Yes. Is what they're getting into, and they've linked different spreadsheets, and unfortunately, those are incredibly fragile. And so that's where a customer's going to reach a point, sometimes faster than they anticipate, where they need something else. So like you mentioned earlier, you use Method or other tools. Mm-hmm. And so part of this is getting familiar with a technology tool. It's essentially kind of providing more of an IT side, right? Yeah. Because it's the systems consulting, but then ideally you either need a partner or in-house, you've got to be able to back it up with the technology expertise.
Yeah. So I played around and loved Microsoft Access, and then when I saw Method, I love Method. Method CRM is a CRM for marketing and sales pipeline, but it is also an ability to create web apps for those of us who are not hard coders. I'm not a hard coder. So Method was a great tool for me. So, but I have, as Redmond Accounting, our clients are businesses, small businesses, not so much mom and pops, but kind of 500K to a million and up from there. They usually have a few staff and are looking for it to either build an accounting department or, you know, hire one. And so we act as that. So that's who I think of when I think of my customer. Now, then I've got the other company, Aero Workflow, and our customer is accountants. I forget that that's a customer. Because I think of them as my peers. These are my people that I'm sharing with, right? But so in that situation, we're providing this database solution, this workflow solution. But for our Redmond accounting customers, we're providing the accounting service. The tools we use are those cloud-based tools because we're doing the work and those are the tools we choose. I'm not usually building databases for them. However, some of them have very, very unique workflows within accounting, and I do tend to build them little method solutions sometimes when I find a need for it. Any chance I get, but that's because I love it. And so let me also follow up here and say that my job now in Redmond Accounting as CEO has become not as much of the client work, but I'm often designing the system when we do a new engagement and rolling that out and, you know, any checklists we need to customize so that we are delivering exactly what the customer is expecting. And then I'm also troubleshooting at the top level of when some app is failing or, you know, the integration's not working, things like that. So that's what my day-to-day looks like there.
And Laura, well, if you don't mind, oh, Kirk, go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned integrations, right? And that's kind of one of the, I think, the strategic areas that accountants and bookkeepers can help their customers. And you mentioned that earlier, right? QuickBooks, Expensify, Method, various things. But just like things are going to the web, integrations are becoming easier, right? And so now I'm going to show off a little bit because I'm a geek and talk about things like RESTful API and all that kind of thing. But a lot of accountants probably have, if they haven't, should check out something like Zapier, right? That's a very, very easy tool that allows integrations between some things that otherwise may not be able to connect. In other words, it's a third-party web service. Their whole purpose is to connect other apps. You know, that's the type of industry and, you know, world we live in business-wise.
I love that you brought that up because that's what we're working on right now. Aero's going to release its open API so that you can use Zapier or, you know, do more integrations if you want with your Aero practice management. But when I teach at QuickBooks Connect, when I teach workflow, I don't mention Aero. I'm not teaching how Aero works or anything like that. I'm speaking from the perspective of the owner and our responsibility to the client and to our staff and how to deliver excellent customer service. And then you can use whatever tool you want. I mean, you can use Excel, you can use paper checklists.
So Laura, what I wanted to ask you, which very in line with what Kirk was saying, would you say now going into the areas of adding value to our clients and providing advisory work, would you say from what I'm getting is that once you have mastered workflow for your own firm, spelling out your procedures, creating a system in place, you as the accounting partner, owner, delegating and running your business extremely smoothly, wouldn't you say that isn't that kind of like the next frontier for accounting professionals? Once they take care of that and take the learnings from that and to bring it into their clients, wouldn't that be a real powerful way to add value?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we're definitely looking for ways in an engagement to bring more value to the customer. And I have personally worked with clients either to deploy one of the standard services we offer to improve their workflow or find some custom way to organize their workflow. But we mostly stick with accounting-based solutions for them. But I have created some workflow apps, workflow-ish apps for clients, like methods solutions that were just outside of the actual core accounting work that we were doing from them. Yeah. But I also have another thought here. I've spent many years working on this, organizing this workflow. And as that has become so streamlined for us, I don't feel finished. I am not sitting back with plenty of time on my hands, I'll tell you. But what I'm focused on now, and I'm about 2 years into it, so this is not a quick thing, but I'm really working on organizing that sales process, because I'll tell you, as a bean counter, sales is like, I'm not as natural with that. I mean, I can talk to people, I can see the solutions, all that sort of thing. But the flow through the pipeline, marketing and sales, into this fixed fee pricing and creating the proposals and value pricing, all of that, I'm still working on that. I'm not done there yet.
And Laura, let me ask you, how do you price your services?
We moved to fixed fee in 2011. So we have... there's the history of it and there's where we are now. So I'll just kind of state where we are now. We have defined these standard services, right? So, you know, within, for us, we use Arrow, of course. So within Arrow, we've got all of our procedures spelled out. This is how we do things here. We've got screenshots. This is how we do all of these services we offer. And then the checklists that go along with them. And so we know what our standard service looks like. And so we have been able to come up with, we created a web store is what we did, because we're trying to be able to sell those services in a way that lets clients really see what they can expect, kind of like this is how it works, and let them choose and kind of build their own service package. So this is a work in progress, but it gets us to a fixed fee. Now, many times those standard services and the pricing we have around them, which is kind of framed by what size business they are, what type of entity they are, many times those take on some little unique things about the business, and it sort of moves it from a standard deployment into a concierge type of deployment. We call it concierge when they kind of veer outside of the standard way we do things. We don't do anything totally different from the standard way we do things, but we will customize our standard checklist. And so I call it fixed fee because it is sort of, it's based around a menu and a standard deployment with some special tweaks to the pricing to take on the customization requested by the customer. But it is not a full, I have not learned how to value price in a way that is a system that we can use as a firm. And I'm looking for that. I'm still looking for that. And so pricing, coming up with those procedures and the pricing plans is still really difficult. But so when we start from a menu of standard and then tweak it a little bit, we have a lot more success there. But in any case, however I come up to the number, it's fixed fee and they sign an auto agreement. And it is electronically removed from their account and put into our account on the first of every month before the services start.
So, Laura, I like the fact that you're actually pricing. And I define pricing as you give the customer a number before any work is done and the customer gets to say yes or no. So you are definitely pricing.
Yes.
I also appreciate the fact that you distinguish between fixed and value. Some things you're doing fixed, some things you're doing value. I want to go to what you just mentioned, which is this area where we feel like we're doing fixed, we'd really like to do it more value. And I kind of want to throw out an idea and just get your reaction to it, because this is what I've seen when I've done value pricing consulting with various types of professional organizations. A lot of times the missing ingredient is judgment. And so what strikes me here is a lot of your business is developing systems and procedures, but I think you're right. Pricing is one of the most difficult areas to do that because it requires judgment. Your thoughts on that?
I definitely agree with you. I find that because the work we do in accounting also requires judgment, I have some hope that I'm going to be able to I'm searching for the word, systemize the sales process. And I don't mean so that I can wash my hands of it. I mean so that we can really feel solid about the pricing that we're putting out. But it is so difficult because of the judgment call there, and especially value pricing, especially when you're talking about judging how much that client will pay you to do the service. So I don't even know exactly how much I need, how far I need to go on the spectrum between fixed fee and value pricing, because I'm pretty happy between them. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm learning. That's where we are right now.
No, I love what you said, Laura, and I'll be honest with you. I'm also big proponent of value pricing and fixed fee, and I'm like you. You know, I there's some things that I feel I know well, and there's some things that I not so well. Like, for example, every single time my client says yes to a price I give, I'm disappointed because I know I left money on the table, especially when the answer is pretty quick. And then every time they say no, then I'm also disappointed because I did something wrong with the way I presented it, marketing, or I attracted the wrong client in the first place. So no matter what, you know, there's a way of being a pessimist about it.
Totally.
In every interaction, right?
And I think for the type of professionals in the accounting industry, we can be perfectionists. And so I really have thought about this. I'm okay if I don't get this perfect, if I don't get value pricing perfect, because if I get part of the way there, I'm really, really good. And I don't mean just part of the way, I really mean like most of the way there. And so we're really on our way there. I'm just, I'm learning how to do it still. And everything I do, I don't like to do it again in a way, unless it's systemized. I really want a system around it. And I don't know if that sits well with others. It's just my style, and I'm trying to run a firm, so I want our sales to be able to work as a system.
And Laura, let me ask you kind of a follow-up question to that. You are the owner of your firm, or you're one of the owners of your firm. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that because you're the ultimate benefactor of something well-priced or something wrong, or the one that gets affected by something not priced correctly, do you feel that you have to get involved in pricing every single deal, or do you delegate, to go back to that concept, do you delegate some of the pricing or the complete intake process for that?
I feel like I have to get involved because I'm the only one that can do it. And that's why I need a system. The rest of my team would do anything I ask. They're amazing people. But there's no, I think they would just feel probably at a loss for what the process is for coming up with the number. And I feel that when I'm pricing, when I get into a situation, I mean, so many of the times I know the numbers are right. And sometimes you can get into an area where you're wondering, where did that number come from? And if someone will pay it, it's, you know, and it's valuable to them, that's fantastic. But I think that's harder for staff to do. And so likewise for us, you have to know. So as running the firm, I'm watching the profit and our numbers. We're tracking time. When our staff log in to do their assignments, we're time trackers over here. I killed the timesheet, threw it away, trashed it for a year, put everyone on commission. Guess who wanted to know some more information that she wasn't tracking anymore? So I switched it all up, and now they don't have to deal with it. They log in, they see their work of assignment, they click one, start working on it, their big checklist pops up, Arrow is automatically timing everything that they're working on, so they don't have to deal with it. But it really helps me in the behind the scenes. I know how to schedule better. I know whether we need more clients because we have enough staff, or we need more staff because we have too much client work. Things like that. And so that helps me with pricing a lot.
Laura, this is Kirk again. So I love where this conversation is going, because I feel like you're sharing real world experience, a real world problem that your peers have. And so I'm just going to continue to kind of go down the rabbit trail, if you will. Mm-hmm. I actually messaged Hector while you were talking in our chat. I said, hey, I think I know what the procedure or process that's missing is. To me, it's what's called a value council or a pricing council, where you get your team involved in the pricing process. The worst pricer is the person whose pricing is when the person who prices is the same person who scoped. That's when you get the worst price. And so even in a small firm like yours, and I did this in my software company for a long time, as I eventually I talked about value and pricing so much, my team got interested and I started teaching them and got to a point where anytime we wrote a proposal, it typically would get three sets of eyes. I did an interview with some lawyers down in Australia. It's like almost a 200-person firm, and they literally have a pricing council that rotates. So I'm curious, is that an idea that you've tried? Is it an idea you think you might try? What's your thoughts?
Well, there are, I do, on our larger proposals, I do work with our COO to create the proposal. We do it together. So that's just one other person. I don't know if that counts as a council, but
only takes two.
So yeah, we've done that for several years before we built the web store, but we are struggling with that. The time it takes is a pain point for us. And the communication of the options we created, you know, I used Method and I created this quote maker that allowed us to pull in services and come up with the numbers, and it printed this beautiful proposal with screenshots of cloud accounting solutions and what it was going to look like. And then at the end of it was the three different packages of prices they could choose from. You know, the middle one was the one we were aiming for them to take, and the top one had everything they'd ever want. The bottom one wasn't enough. And so we have that. This is just where I am on the spectrum now. It's still painfully difficult to come up with them.
Well, and Laura, if you don't mind me interjecting here, but this is maybe a question for you or maybe a suggestion. You know, I've had some of my team members scope the work out, and then I would give them three prices. My own team member, I give them three prices, and I'm not giving them options. I'm giving them three prices, and I already priced the job internally. I already knew more or less what I wanted to charge. Let's call it that. Like you're getting involved in all the bigger deals. And then I give my team member three choices and ask her, you know, which of those three you think you would do for that particular job. Now, this is not options for clients. This is a one option. And by giving them three numbers, it makes it easy for her or him to choose it. And then I want to know how far off I am, because you know, we scoped the work, how far off I am on my original determination and what the team member thought. And I've been in situations in which I picked a number, let's just say 5,000, and I gave three choices, 3, 5, and 7. And my staff member said, you know, definitely 7 or more. And sometimes, you know, that sparks a really interesting conversation. Like, wait, why did you pick 7? And she said, well, remember part ABC when the customer mentioned this, that's going to be a rabbit hole. So you should build in for that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting when you actually sort of involve your team members in sort of guessing the price, because that allows you to know, okay, are you on the same page, especially with the folks that are going to, I don't know if you try something like that, with the folks that are going to be doing the work.
Yeah. Involving the other ones. Yeah. So far it's just the two of us, so we'll powwow on it. But yeah, we can look at involving the rest of the staff. It'd be interesting to see what they think. We're in different states too. Sometimes I'll tell you, we're usually at the high end. Our proposals are never in the lowest number when clients are looking for solutions. We're usually going to hit at the highest of the options they're getting. So I'm not undercutting anything.
So Laura, I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing your knowledge. By the way, I never thank anybody for their time, because time is worthless. It's the knowledge that has value, and you've reiterated that in your comments. So as we ask you a knowledge question that you can share as we go, do you have a story that you could share about how your advice has transformed a customer in a significant way?
Yeah, I mean, really, almost every engagement, and not because of our firm so much as because of this cloud accounting solution that we're all working in now. or many of us are working in now. But one that comes to mind is we had a client come to us because the bookkeeper on staff had QuickBooks desktop on her computer at her desk. And after a year or two of working there, they had come to find that she had fraudulently been writing checks to herself under different pseudonyms. And so there was a police were involved and all sorts of things. So they were really, really, really touchy about who they were going to hire to help clean it up and what solutions they were going to put in place so that this could never happen again. And there were an R&D firm that were heavily funded by a private investor. So it was very, you know, very important, the security. And so for us, we put in the solutions that we know and trust so much, and we talk to them about it. And so for us, we put in QuickBooks Online and Bill.com and Expensify. I keep mentioning those, but those are like our core solutions. And that, I'll just quickly say, QuickBooks Online meant that the CEO and the head of HR that sat with their desks near this bookkeeper, and this is Silicon Valley, right? I mean, these guys have ping pong tables and chefs come in making lunch and 100 employees and hot cookies delivered. I mean, it's the best place to work. How could you be stealing from this company? But anyway, this person did that, and the owner, you know, the CEO and the head of HR couldn't believe it. And so for them, once we moved over to QuickBooks Online, they didn't feel that it was closed on some PC over at someone's desk. Now they felt more powerful immediately. They could log on to any browser anywhere and check on how things were doing. When I first went in there, and I went in to help this guy because they would just point to that desk and they just felt closed off from it. And so the online, having the cloud accounting solution just opened that up for them. And then Bill.com, of course, is an incredible solution because it has positive pay already built into it. So every check that you pay to every vendor is going to be cross-referenced against the amount and the date and whatever that it was supposed to be before it's cashed. And secondly, the company's account number and signature is not on the paper check that goes out. Bill.com sends it out with their own information on it, so to avoid check washing schemes. So lots of great fraud prevention tools there. And Expensify, they had some company credit cards that were being used, and they didn't have any, nobody was reporting back to them on what they were purchasing. They just felt at a loss there, and Expensify really gave a tool that you could hand easily to the staff that had company credit cards to let them attach their receipt and say what they've spent money on in a much easier fashion. So that's just one off the top of my head that changed this. I mean, I could just picture their faces after. Lots of relief. And for people who are managing R&D on a huge investment, who were so nervous they couldn't trust anyone at that point, they were almost at a breaking point. It was really important for them.
That was a great story, Laura. Thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm. And as we wrap up, can you tell the audience how can people get in touch with you or learn more about your companies and your business?
Yeah, of course. So redmondaccounting.com actually forwards to our other website name called QBO Pro, which we kind of branded under when QuickBooks Online was coming out and things were going more cloud, because we've been Redmond Accounting for 12 years, since 2005. And while I will say that our first ever client we put on QuickBooks Online in the early days, we also had a lot of people on desktop. I'm advanced certified desktop. I love desktop. I come from desktop. But when we really started moving to the cloud, we came up with a new name, QBO Pro. So that's our website, or Redmond Accounting, whatever. And then the other thing that I spend a lot of my time on is arrowworkflow.com.
Thank you very much, Laura. Thank you for coming in the show, and thank you for sharing your knowledge in the art of advisory.
Thanks for having me.